this fits into the days of Noah so well, the return of those days of Noah. That's why I call it the days of Noah 2.0. The reason it fits into that, you see, because this is exactly the direction that our world is headed. But it's really, it's kind of a new answer to the same old problem. What is the same old problem? The same old problem is man's depravity. That's the same old problem, that man is a sinner. And God said that man was going to die for his sin, right? So that's the same old problem, but Satan has new and innovative ways to answer that problem, to give them a way out, right, an excuse, and that's really what it is. So we're going to get into that here and talk about that. The Bible speaks of these times of the days of Noah and what was going to happen in these when Christ came back. We're going to return to these days, and there was going to be some things that were going to take place. Last week we talked about DNA. We talked about the issue of DNA. We're going to kind of still talk about that a little bit, but it's going to be a little bit a different direction here, because this is the other side of the spectrum. There are those that believe that they could just edit DNA. There are others that believe that you must merge man with machine, right? That you must make a man like bionic, right? We've been told about that for years. Some of you remember when you were young, the bionic man, right? The $6 million man, right? Things like that. Now, you all thought that was just science fiction. But I will tell you that most of those people that studied science fiction, that wrote it, most of them are demonic people. They're devilish people. They practice a lot of witchcraft and writings, automatic writing and different things like that. So that's who these people are, okay? And this is a fitting picture here. You know, you see right here, you see the machine, you see the man, and see, this is their bridge to immortality. This is what they believe that they can do. You say, you know, why would we, do we really need to talk about something like this? Is it really that prevalent? Oh, it's more prevalent than you think, but it's on a different level. In your mind, you might think it's just rich billionaires that are bored, that just want to spend money. Oh, no, it's not. It comes down to the average day mom that loses their child, that loses a spouse, or somebody that want to continue on that life, and they want to cheat death. And I'm going to show you some people that really believe that they can cheat death. And it's Satan's old scheme. But what you have to understand is the devil is involved with this, and it's going to get really creepy. What I show you today is going to be creepy, in my opinion. When I first showed some of these things on a broadcast before, it was, but I realized that many of you don't have time to watch those broadcasts, and you don't get to see some of these things. And I want you to understand that, like, before, when I taught on the days of Noah 10 years ago, when I preached on that, we weren't this far. In 10 years, things have, and by the way, every year, computations and things with computers double. That's Moore's law, right? It doubles, right? It doubles. Now with quantitative, quantum computing, the sky's the limit on what they can do with those things. So there's a lot that goes into that that you have to, there's going to be some like technical things that are kind of boring that I'll try to push through as fast as I can. Because I'm not trying to give you too much, but I want to give you enough to understand that here's what people don't understand. If I showed you this without the spiritual aspects of this, you would think, oh, this seems pretty good. But when you look at it from the biblical perspective and you understand there's a spirit behind this, and it's one that is contrary to the scriptures. It is one that is contrary to the Word of God. It is the spirit of Antichrist. It is the rise of man being a god. You know, since the serpent tempted Eve in the garden, man has always wanted to be a god. Always. That's what Satan tempted Eve with, was to be a god, right? That you'll be a god. You'll no longer have to obey the Lord. You no longer have to follow God. But you'll be able to be a god. Satan has never stopped finding ways to make man a god in his flesh, right? Why? Well, because the father of it, the father of the lie, is Satan is the father of the lie, who is the Antichrist, and he will offer man that place. And one man will take that place as the Antichrist. Genesis 3. verses 1. Let's pray. Father in heaven, Lord, we pray you bless us now and just help us, guide us through this, Lord. We thank you for all that you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, Genesis 3:1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden. And the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. But of the fruit of the tree, which is the midst of the garden, God has said, ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. That was the promise that the serpent made to Eve. The big lie. That is the big lie, right? And it's still the lie that is pushed today. It's just more advanced. There's more to it. There's more technology to it now. There's more satanic. God is allowing it because there's an end coming. The end is that Jesus will return, right? That's the end. God's going to fix this. God's going to melt this old world down with fervent heat, right? He's going to melt it, and he's going to make all things new. That's exactly what he's going to do. And the serpent said to the woman, ye shall not surely die. So that was his promise to her. What did God say? No, you're going to die. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof. So he's telling Eve what God knows. I want you to think about that for a second. It's a very bad thing for you and I to think thoughts towards God that are not biblical thoughts. Because when what you're doing is you're acting like a devil. If you give over to your emotions and your feelings and everything else, then you are attributing things to God that are not true. That's why we have a Bible. You have a Bible today. You have this perfect King James Bible. And the reason you have it is so you don't attribute things to God that are false. So you don't charge God foolishly. And so you don't say things or believe things that are not true. You're commanded to believe everything that is in this book. You're not commanded to invent things in your own mind, in your own imagination, like Satan did. He said, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. You make your own decisions, right? You're going to know. You're going to have that gnosis. You're going to have that knowledge. You're going to have that secret knowledge that God's trying to keep from you. So what is it today that people desire? That secret knowledge that God is going to keep, that God is keeping from man. See, Satan was really trying to reveal. Here's how the agnostics and others and all those other people, this is how they try to frame it, or the gnostics. This is how they try to frame it. Well, God was keeping things and Satan wanted to give you the truth. See, there's things that aren't being told to you. Right, just like there's books missing in the Bible, right? Because why? Because God's keeping things from you. From them that love him, that's right. Here's the kind of pictorial illustration of transhumanism. This is the march to godhood in man's flesh. That's really what it is, to make a man immortal. Nobody really wants to die. I mean, that's true. I mean, even Christ said, Father, if it were possible, this cup could pass from me, right? Nobody wants to die really like that. I mean, if they're well in their mind and everything like that, they don't really want to die. They don't want to go through the process of death. But there's something called this DNA, right? There's something called this that it's fallen. This is fallen. Our flesh is fallen. You just have to bend over and pick something up, right, Brother Marv, to figure out that this flesh is broken, right? We don't even have to go that far, do we? But when we do, we figure out this flesh is broken. It's not perfect. It can't be perfect on this side. You can't be perfected in the flesh. Amen. It's not going to happen. So you see, there's this merging, right, of the brain. It's this transformation that Satan wants to sell man, that he could actually be a god. That's really what it is. Same old lie, retold over and over again, right? That you can be a god. I mean, you really can. You don't have to. There's no reason for us to die, really. You'll talk to people and they'll tell you there isn't really a reason. We can fix death. That's what they believe. They believe and they want to teach that they can fix death. That's really what they're attempting to do. We're going to fix death. We'll write death out of what kills you out of DNA. We'll edit it out. We're going to fix death. There's people that believe that. They really do. They model it after Satan, though. Isaiah chapter 14, verse number 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation, the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That's what Satan wants to do. He not only wants to be like the Most High, he wants you to think you're a God. He wants you to desire that same thing. So what did he do? He tempted Eve with that same thing. Just like he's tempting man with the same thing. That you can achieve godhood and immortality without God. Your flesh, we can fix your flesh. We can fix you. Right? So that's what Satan sells. You can be perfected in the flesh. Right? So I want to read you something from Wikipedia here. It's just a general understanding here of the technological singularity. Or simply the singularity, is a hypothetical point in time at which technological growth becomes uncontrollable and irreversible, resulting in unforeseeable changes to human civilization. The cults, everyone is talking about this. Something's coming, right? Something's coming. They're all talking about something's coming. Oh, something's coming, all right. Right. The tipping point. You hear all these different things said, right? All these different things. I don't have time to talk about today, but Agenda 2030, all these other things, and Agenda 21, they met the goals of what they really wanted to do. They just had to push some things forward. But we won't talk about that today because I don't have time to. I might do that on a broadcast coming up. But according to the most popular version of the singularity hypothesis called intelligence explosion, an upgradable intelligent agent will eventually enter a runaway reaction of self-improvement cycles, each new and more intelligent generation appearing more and more rapidly, causing an explosion in intelligence and resulting in a powerful super-intelligent intelligence that quantitatively far surpasses all human intelligence.
I sure ain't seeing it where I work.
No. No, you're not. Right? No, you're not. Well, we understand that, don't we? We know man's getting worse. But see, man's going to have some help. See that light? That's Satan. That's the light. That's what that is. Satan is going to be the bridge that deceives man into godhood, into thinking that he's a god. That's what they're waiting for. I'm going to show you why they can't do this yet, because God hasn't allowed them. I'm going to show you why God hasn't allowed them to do it yet, and why it's hard for them to do. But they're going to get to a point like this. Well, how do you know that? Well, look at your computer. How much faster is your computers now? Okay, this right here, in the 1980s, this right here is what a whole room did. What I can do with this. A whole room had to be filled like this, full of computers to do what, and couldn't even do what this can do. This can do 100 times more than that. Where are they getting that from? Right. Think about this now. Think about what you're able to do from this phone right now. Okay? The first use, right, the concept of singularity in the technological context was John von Neumann, right? They reported a discussion from von Neumann centered on the accelerating process of technology and changes in the mode of human life, which gives the appearance of approaching some essential singularity in the history of the race beyond which human affairs, as we know them, could not continue. Intelligence explosion. Model predicts that a future superintelligence will trigger a singularity. Public figures such as Stephen Hawking and Elon Musk have expressed concern that full artificial intelligence could result in human extinction. So in order to stop that, we've got to merge with them. I mean, you have to, that's the only way to stop it, right? Is you have to merge with it so you can keep up with it because it's going to be smarter than you. Well, in order to, you have to be able to control it. We'll show you Elon Musk's idea of doing that. The question you might ask yourself, do people really believe this? Right? Do they really believe this? Are people really working towards this? Are influential people really working towards this? Yeah. See, here's the thing how you know if something's real or not, or the desired effect is real. See that money right there? You follow the money. If there's enough money behind it, if there's enough ideology behind it, if there are very wealthy, intelligent, rich people that are behind it, billionaires in the world that are all behind it, there's a reason they're behind it. And they don't usually lose. Earthly speaking, of course. Humanly speaking. They don't lose. And they hire the brightest minds in the world to do it. And there's a reason for that, right? Why? Well, you have to understand they're fighting God. Like, that's the reason. The reason is they're fighting God. The whole world is gathering together and preparing themselves to war against God. Why? Well, because this book is true and God said it was going to happen. And that's what they're doing. Okay, now this is going to get weird. But this right here is Peter 2.0. How many saw this on my broadcast? Who saw that? A couple of you saw that. Okay. Peter 2.0 is not that Peter right there. Even though he's blonde, don't. It's not the same guy, okay? Don't. Right? Peter's not a cyborg, right, Peter? Peter doesn't want to be a cyborg. But Peter 2.0 wants to be a cyborg. Peter 2.0 not only wanted to be a cyborg, he turned himself into a cyborg. He turned himself into one. This man had a serious disease, the same one Stephen Hawking had, basically, and he decided he was going to cheat death. He said it's a full-time job to beat death, his exact words. But he's going to do it. He said it's a full-time job, and he's going to do it. So this man right here, who's a sodomite, by the way, who lives in absolute rebellion to God, he's a homosexual, he lives in absolute and utter rebellion. He's married in the world's eyes to some other weirdo. And they both got together and said, I think we'll turn you into a cyborg since your body's going to break down. They basically took his whole mind. They put everything online. They made an avatar out of him, right? Here's his avatar. I'm going to show you part of this video because I want you to understand that, like, they really did this. This man said he's the first ever cyborg. His body, he says basically this, and I'll have you listen to part of this, but he says that basically, don't look for Peter, the guy that's in the wheelchair, don't look for him, because pretty soon he won't even be there, and all you're going to see is this, because his whole life is going to be, is uploaded now, and he's uploading more, his whole life is going to be this. That's everything. His body won't be able to move. Like, his motor skills and everything will be nothing there. It'll be basically a corpse. And he's stating that he's able to put everything online. And he's going to, and they did it, mostly. Not quite there yet, but. Okay, let me see here if I can.
My questions, as I say, have been put to him in advance so that the voice synthesizer and his very remarkable avatar can answer.
Stephen, it's absolutely wonderful to be talking with you. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's going to be fun.
I think it is. It's going to be fun and fascinating. First things first, you have described yourself as a transitioning cyborg. How first would you define cyborg?
Cyborg is simply a fancy word for part human, part machine. In my case, what's never been done before is that the most important machine parts of me will be AI, not mechanics. And that all potentially gets a bit weird. Not least because I'm planning to use more and more AI to work with me on everything. Everything from speaking to controlling things to moving about. The point is, my brain is racing away, frantically wanting to communicate with the outside world, to write emails, to work the TV remote, to chip into conversations. But I'm only able to move my eyes. It's like being in my own private universe, only able to tap out Morse code to the rest of you. I need AI to second guess what I'm wanting to communicate, but from the start, I didn't want to be coy about what I was doing. The inherent unusualness of it all. I decided to be out and proud about my transitioning status, and also be brazen about the fact I would increasingly diverge from the norm. So I commandeered the word cyborg.
Fantastic. Now, I think it's fair to say we could describe your journey to becoming the world's first ever cyborg, real cyborg outside science fiction, begins with, how can I put it, a wonky foot.
Francis and I were in the Arctic chasing the northern lights. I stepped out of a lovely hot bath and did what I've done all my life. I wiggled my foot to shake off the drips. It didn't wiggle, and at best, it was a slow waggle. So my very first symptom was, as you so accurately categorized, a wonky foot. But it then took a year to get a diagnosis. There's no test for MND, so you have to resort to eliminating everything it isn't. In my case, this involved giving vast amounts of blood, being deafened by hours of MRI scans, interminable electric shocks, and my personal favorite, a lumbar puncture. It took forever. I was in a wheelchair long before we knew why I was in a wheelchair.
And just for sort of background, before this very alarming episode in the bathroom, life, I guess, was pretty typical for you. Perhaps.
Okay. In other words, basically what he's telling you is that he turned his body into a robot and it functions like a cyborg, right? It functions like a cyborg, where that avatar is going to be all that people eventually ever see of him in that sense, right? Everything will be done through his mind. Everything will be done through AI, through artificial intelligence.
And he'll die. As soon as there's an EMP and we lose electricity, he'll be dead.
Yeah. Yeah. He will be. But see, here's the thing about it. What you have to understand is there's devilish activity involved with this. Because there's something missing yet that they can't do. They haven't been able to do it yet. They haven't been able to give life to it yet.
Because it's not really alive.
Right. Well, he's still alive.
But that thing is.
That avatar that's on the screen, no, but he is still alive. So far.
He's got more than a wonky foot.
Yeah, he does. But you think, okay, so by the way, that guy is he's a millionaire. He's a multimillionaire. He's a very wealthy man. Him and his sodomite partner, very wealthy, okay? But he has a desire to cheat death. He wants to live forever, right? He wants to live forever. And he's willing to turn himself into that and sacrifice himself upon that in order to do that very thing. Wants to die. That's exactly right.
You can't take your soul into a computer.
Nope. But a devil can.
If you don't believe that you have one.
They don't believe they have one. But it can be possessed by devils.
Okay.
Whoops, let me back up here. Let me go back to that. This right here. All right, what I'm about to show you here is sadder, I guess you could say. It's worse. This is a mother. What were you going to say, something, brother?
Can we go back? On that soul, the way I understand it, we don't have a soul. We are a human.
Are a living soul.
We
yep.
are a soul.
Okay? Yep.
It's not something you have. It's something you are.
You are.
We're
yep.
souls, and we have a human body.
Yes.
I just want to clarify.
Yep. We absolutely,
that's,
yeah.
That's the way I've always understood.
Yeah. Well, God said that man became a living soul.
Yeah, we are
right.
a living
Because he breathed. That's what makes us different than every other creature. Okay. Right. Yep. That's what makes us different than every other creature. Okay. Any of God's creation. Right. But the difference is that when you're saved by the grace of God, that's when the Holy Ghost comes in and seals your soul. That's what's sealed is your soul unto the day of redemption. That's what is sealed. That's you. That's who you are. Right? That's your... And then, of course, your spirit is mind. When you start talking about the body, the mind, and the spirit, and you start talking about the soul and everything, some of those words are interchangeable in the Bible. If you look at the word soul, sometimes they're detecting different things. They're not speaking of the same thing.
And the scriptures do have possessive language. Like David said, why art thou cast down?
Oh, my soul. Yep.
It was possessive language.
Yep.
So yep.
Yep. It is. Those words are used interchangeably for spirit, soul. A lot of those words are used to point out different aspects of things. So you have to look at the focus of the scriptures are, what the context is of the scriptures when it's dealing with that. A lot of people get messed up with that, and then there's a lot of weird teachings out there. So we have to be careful with that. This woman right here, she lost her daughter to a disease. And because she lost her daughter to a disease, she never handled death correctly. I will tell you that as Christians, we are told in the scriptures how to handle death. We are taught how to deal with death, right? We're taught how to deal with grief, how to deal with sorrow, and how properly to deal with that. These people, they're not taught how to deal with death, and they don't understand. So what did she do? This woman went to somebody who basically uploaded all of the features of her daughter and her daughter's whole personality, voice, pictures, everything, uploaded it into a program or put it into a program. And what's that?
This is going to be like Saul.
It is the same thing. I taught on this 2 years ago. I said that. Yeah. I use that same text, and that's exactly what it is. But this is digital necromancy. That's what it is. It's digital. It's conversing with the dead. So if anyone lost a child, lost a spouse, I'm going to show you a few of these. What they're doing is they're uploading all of those things to the computer into a program system, right? They're running those programs, and this is what the outcome is. So they never accept the fact that their child died. If you don't teach people to accept what death is scripturally and show people that the hope of the resurrection in Jesus Christ, if you don't show them the gospel, which is the hope of the resurrection, right? That's we're not men most sorrowful because our hope is not only in this life, but it's in the one to come. Amen. We know one day we'll be resurrected. We're going to die. And that's why, you know, funerals, as sad as they can be for Christians, they ought to be, they are a celebration of a homegoing. They are that too. They are there. There is an aspect of a funeral that ought to be tears and weeping and grieving. There ought to be, and that's not just the funeral, by the way. There's a lot of people that don't grieve death properly, and Christians are some of the worst ones at it. You ought to grieve death properly. Biblically speaking, you look at what happened in the Bible. They didn't just, with the exception of one prophet that God said, "Get over it and get out there and preach." Besides that, most of the time they took time to grieve the loss of their loved ones. And when you don't, listen to me and listen to me good. You will lock that thing up into your heart, and it will come out someday. It'll come out in the form of depression, anxiety, grief that is stuck in your mind, in your heart. Literally, pain of mind is what grief is. It will come out, and it'll come out in your actions and how you deal with people and how you handle things. You've got to deal with grief. You've got to deal with death properly. You've got to teach your children to grieve and to deal with death properly. If you don't, it's not just, oh, just get over it and move on with life. That's not how life works. That's not what God said. You look at the examples in the scriptures, they took time to grieve the dead. And you need to do the same thing. Just because you're a Christian doesn't mean that your mind isn't broken and fallen and doesn't have issues that it has to deal with. God made you to love people. And when people are taken from you and people are gone from you and you don't see them on this side again, there needs to be a proper grieving process. That's important. These people don't have that. They don't have that at all. So what this woman did was, she went to somebody and basically digitally resurrected her child. I got kicked off of YouTube for this video, by the way. So I'll get kicked off again. But anyway.
What is
Ma.
What is
Ma.
Oh, Ma.
In the 21st century, ghosts do exist.
Oh, Ma, what is this?
Oh, Ma.
Oh, Ma, this is my sister.
After 4 years, she can see her again. She can hear her again. But as hard as she tries, Jang Ji-sung can't touch her dead daughter, Na-yeon. For this is a digital recreation of the girl who died from leukemia in 2016, age 7. Just pixels in a headset and a voice in some headphones. Meeting her daughter's avatar has been a complex and deeply emotional experience for this grieving mother.
If Na-yeon were alive, she would now be 11 years old, and it's heartbreaking to see that her time has stopped at the age of 7. But I was so happy to see her that way.
The reunion has been made possible by advances in virtual reality. People often think that technology is cold. We decided to participate.
Imagine this. Imagine this, what that's doing to the family. Imagine that, what it's doing to the family, right? The dad, he's recorded on it. Dad's like, I don't want it. He hated it. He just, but the mother just couldn't get over that. But do you see do you see this weeping mother? Now I want to ask you a question. If I was a devil and I wanted to manipulate people's emotions and, I don't know, I wanted to cause the world to follow after me. Well, maybe, just maybe, I would use that to do that. Why? This is taking hope in something other than Christ. It's idolatry. Do you understand that? That's what it is. And you feel for the mother, right? You feel for the mother, but a loving husband sits down with his wife and tells him, you know what? This is what the Bible says. This is truth. This is... You have to accept death, right? And you have to accept that you lost your daughter and that God is right and God is true, right? And God is just and holy and He's right. And one day you'll be reunited with them. That's the Christian's perspective. But here, this is an absolutely, completely emotional plea, right? It's emotional manipulation. And that's how the Antichrist works, by the way. That's how the devil is going to do things. See, for you, you think it's going to be at the end of a gun or the end of a... That's not how Satan works. That's not... He does... Sure, there's people out there that he'll use to do that, but that's not how it's going to work. This is part of the way it's going to work. Causeth them. That's not forced. It's coerced. It's a coercion. If you were them and you were offered, and your child was offered digital mortality, immortality, and you lost your loved one, well, if you weren't saved and you didn't understand what the Bible says and you didn't know the truth, what would you do? You'd be tempted to follow that, wouldn't you? And wherever that leads. And it's going to lead to some bad things. Because what you're doing is, there's devils that are going to be that are going to be dealing with this stuff. That's what it is anyway. But it's going to get worse. You know, it's just electronic. That's all. Oh, no, it's not. It's more than that. Yeah. Look at the emotional. But what is it? It is the devil, because what is it? It's a trick, right? It's deception. What is Satan a master of? Deception.
Mass propaganda with all the COVID.
Yes. So how hard is this going to be? This is going to be a cakewalk. You just give them what they want. Right? People were all afraid, right? You got to do this, you got to do that, you got to do this, you're all going to die. Right? It's manipulation. That's Satan's number one technique. When the Antichrist, in the end times, when the Antichrist comes to rise, what does he use? Flatteries to take the kingdom. That's the way it works. Right? What are they all searching for? Immortality. We're going to talk about Ray Kurzweil. He's a real sicko. In his 2005 book, the singularity is near. He suggests that medical advances would allow people to protect their bodies from the effects of aging, making the life expectancy limitless. Kurzweil argues that the technological advances in medicine would allow us to continuously repair and replace defective components in our bodies, prolonging life to an undetermined age. Kurzweil further buttresses his arguments by discussing current bioengineering advances. Kurzweil suggests somatic gene therapy after synthetic viruses with specific genetic information. The next step would be to apply this technology to gene therapy, replacing human DNA with synthesized genes. You mean like in like shots and stuff? And like, maybe. One of the founders of nanotechnology postulated cell repair devices, including ones operating within cells and utilizing as yet hypothetical biological machines. Right? Look at this. Richard Feynman, it says this. It was his former graduate student and collaborator, Albert Hibbs, who originally suggested to him, in 1959, by the way, the idea of a medical use for Feynman's theoretical micro-machines. Right? So it's these little nanobots, right? Beyond merely extending the operational life of the physical body, Jaron Lanier argues for a form of immortality called digital ascension. That involves people dying in the flesh and being uploaded into a computer and remaining conscious. This is Ray Kurzweil. Yeah, he's a weirdo. But he has a problem. Ray has a real problem. Here's his problem. See, Ray's father died. And here's what Ray says. He has a problem with God, number one. He says, does God exist? Well, I would say not yet. That's his quote. That's an actual quote from him. He said, not yet. We're going to make him, though. He's not lying. They're going to make a God. Yeah. Remember the image of the beast? Remember what they're going to, remember at the end times what they do with the image of the beast? They make the image of the beast, right? The people are the ones that make the image of the beast in Revelation chapter 13. It's not Satan that makes the image. Satan gives power and life to the image of the beast. They're building the God they want. That's what they're doing. So Ray says, not yet. Not quite yet. But see, Ray's got a problem. Here's his problem. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. That's Ray's problem, really. He doesn't believe God. He thinks he's a god. Ray Kurzweil thinks of such efforts which attempt to slow aging by using current technology. He calls it Bridge One to indefinite longevity. But he also subscribes to the belief that the body is essentially a computer made up of overwritable data and updatable apps. You're just a machine. That's all you are. What are they doing? Well, they're trying to get to the book. Remember the book, the DNA, the book? They're trying to rewrite the book. Therefore, we'll soon be in the midst of a biotech revolution, which will offer personally tailored immune therapies for cancer as well as organs grown from our own DNA. We're going to be gods. This is Bridge 2, which he believes will bring us to longevity escape velocity within 15 years. I'm actually a little more optimistic than Aubrey, he said. Bridge 3, which he expects us to cross by the 2030s. Agenda 2030, right? You don't know what that is, but you'll find out sometime. Bridge 3, which he expects us to cross by the 2030s, is nanobots, blood cell-sized devices that will roam the body and the brain, cleaning up all the damage that De Grey wants to fix with medical interventions. No more of that archaic and barbarian medical stuff. No. We're going to take it to the next level. Technology is going to fix all that. Right? I used to call it the killer app of health technology, Kurzweil said, but that's not a good name. People might not want to follow that. It might be bad. Here's nanobots, right? They're going to go in your bloodstream. They're going to go in your cells. They're going to go inside your body. They're going to clean you all up. So whenever you have a disease or whenever you have something, they artificially have these nanobots. They're going to go in. They're going to fix you, right? They're going to make you like a god. So whenever you have a problem, you know, it's interesting. It reminds me of the X-Men with Wolverine, right? Wolverine, if he's about ready to die, his cells regenerate. Right? They regenerate and they bring him back to life. right? So he doesn't die. If there's only one cell left living in his body, if there's one cell left living, then Wolverine can actually, he could regenerate. He can make himself over again. Well, that's what they want to do. They want you to be able to do that. So you could live forever a sinner. So you can live forever against God. So you could live forever. So you could thwart the judgment of God and the fall of man. So you could say, I'm not going to die. Ye shall not surely die. Right? By the way, don't the charismatics do the same thing? You hear Gloria Copeland and Kenneth Copeland. I will never have the flu, right? Remember that video? I played that over and over again. I will never have the flu. Right? They're not going to have it. Why? They're going to get help. Here we go. Scientists developing nanorobots whose mission is to kill cancer tumors, right? It was back in 2018, right? They're going to cure cancer. They might. Right? When we cross Bridge 4, those same nanobots will connect our brains to a neocortical annex in the cloud, and our intelligence will quickly expand a billionfold. Well, who's over the cloud? Satan. Who's exalted his throne above the stars of God? Who ascended up? Who's over the clouds, right? Who's Satan is. He's the god of those clouds, in his own mind anyway, right? Now we know he'll set his throne above the stars of God. He will be like the Most High. That's what they're going to do. So they're going to connect your brains in here like this if you want them to. You may not have a choice someday. They might just kill you before, but that's okay. I'd rather die than have them hook me up to some machine and treat me like a robot. You have to kill me. But anyway, these nanobots will connect our brains to this, and here you go up the cloud. Then your intelligence is, what does that mean? Well, you and I, we don't have all the knowledge that this computer has, like access to, like, right? So what if you were the interface? Like, what if you were? So, like, you all think, okay, well, I'm going to look that up on Google. I'm going to Google how to put that wall up to make that wall work, right? So what if you didn't have to do that? What if you could just access all that from your mind? Well, then it'd be part of you, and you'd have that, and you'd be superhuman. Well, how's a guy like you and I going to compete with somebody if we don't do that? How would we compete in a workplace? How would you compete in the world like that? You wouldn't. You'd be those archaic, old, stuck-in-the-mud Christians that are holding back evolution. See, this is evolution. This is the gospel of the beast. This is where it's all going. Oh, you thought it was just Darwin, and you thought it was just like turtles and stuff? Or tortoises on an island? Right? You just thought it was a bunch of tortoises and turtles and, right? Yeah, moss. No. This is where it's going. Bridge 4 is where it's going. That's evolution. That's the gospel of the beast. Amen. That's what they believe. And the survival of the fittest. And if you ain't fit, you ain't surviving. Right? Once that transformation happens in 2045... I wonder who he's been talking to. How does he know that? The singularity occurs and we become like gods. These are his quotes, right? I'm not like making it like you're making that up. No, I'm not actually. I didn't, Andrew updated the slides that I sent him, and I didn't get to put that one in there, Andrew. There was one in there of a 33-year-old man. I don't know if you saw that. Yeah, that's okay. It's a 33-year-old man. I know, it's weird. But his girlfriend died tragically. So he saved all of her online information. He had it put into a computer, right? Put into a program, right? And his old girlfriend that died texted him back and forth. One night he spent all night texting this girl back and forth. Well, it wasn't really her, right? It was an automated system. And it was paid on a per-pay basis. So they're charging this man, and this man is literally talking to this girl with all the, okay, imagine this, like everything that, like, we have videos, right? So we have videos of each other and our family, right? You take a video, you take a funny moment, pictures, all that kind of stuff, right? You record all that stuff, right? We record all that. Well, what are they going to do with it? Well, they're going to do something with it. What are they going to do? They'll put it all into a program, in a machine, and then if you're sad because your daughter died, your son died, your wife died, or somebody else, you'll just catch somebody in that emotional state, and you could make thousands of dollars on that.
So did Google and Facebook have been already collecting this data?
Data, yeah.
For years, and Facebook actually got nailed for conducting secret experiments on people, where it would intentionally put content in front of their pages.
Uh-huh.
And record, it would later track your posts and how you responded to what you saw.
Yes. That's what the AI is doing. The algorithm, it's learning you.
It's going to use this.
Yeah, that's what they've been doing. But this is where it goes into, this is the step further, right? This is where you're just connected to it. And you, by the way, I don't have time to get into this, but there's another bridge that connects with this. And that's the metaverse. The metaverse is where most of this is going to play out. That's where it's going to play out. It's all going to be in your mind. So you're not going to want to go live reality. Why? Well, because all your loved ones that died tragically, they're in the metaverse. And you can communicate with them forever there. You never have to leave the metaverse. So your dead mother, your dead father, your dead family members, we can download everything in there, and then we can do that. Unless you die. Then they'll stick you in there. Right? Look what he says here. That's 2045. He's going to cheat death, he says. He really, Ray Kurzweil, he's looking forward to it. He's going to beat death. For a time, we'll be a hybrid of biological and non-biological thinking. But as the cloud keeps doubling, the non-biological intelligence will predominate. Kurzweil said. They want you to be buddies with cyborgs, right? That's where you're headed, in their mind. Here's the countdown to the singularity. This is their years. This is their double, you know, computing. The ability of computers to compute different things is double, all the way up, all the way down. You know, just getting better and better and better and better and better. And it's true, right? Things are faster than they've ever been, all that kind of stuff, right? With quantum computing, though, it's way different. Like, it's off the charts. It's like anything goes with that, which way they figured out. Mind uploading.
Did you see what the last thing was?
I didn't. I'm sorry.
Life.
Life, yep. Personal computer. Life.
Only God can.
Right, but what is that? But who's going to give that life?
Satan.
He's going to give... He's going to give life to the image of the beast. They're going to get there. That's transhumanism. See, years ago when people talked about things like that, what happened? What happened years ago? You think it's just crazy science fiction stuff.
Right.
Well, now you're seeing things play out. But it is an element of deception as well. Because no, Satan can't give life. Only God can give life. What's he going to do? He's going to mimic it. And what is he going to use? Fat. Haven't we figured out that people really don't care if something's real or not? I mean, haven't we got to that point yet where we understand that the world will follow a lie? They don't care if it's real, right? I mean,
money's not real.
Right, right. So we know, by the way, silver and gold and those precious metals are in the end times. Why? This. That's why silver and gold is going to be still of value to men because of this. How much does it cost to mine Bitcoin and to do all those other, and to get in, and what do you need for all those things, right? You need precious metals, right? That's what you need to do those things, to make that, make everything work, to put things together. Andrew, how much is it for the CPU stuff and all that stuff, trying to get a hold of all these things, right? It's expensive, right? Chips and computers and boards and metals and all of it. It's all part of that. It's part of the plan. That's why God said the silver and the gold at the end, men are going to desire it, right? Money's not going to mean anything. What's money? It's all that. Mind uploading, also known as whole brain emulation, is a theoretical futuristic process of scanning a physical structure of the brain accurately enough to create an emulation of the mental state, including long-term memory and self, and transferring a copy to a computer in a digital form. The computer would then run a simulation of the brain's information processing such that would respond in essentially the same way as the original brain and experiencing having sentient conscious mind. Be sentient. What does that mean? Alive. Giving life. Some of this sounds so far-fetched, but I guarantee you, Jacob said something to me about a video I did 4 years ago on the Google gods and the gospel. He said this to me like 2 months ago. He's like, Pastor, he goes, I went back and listened to those, and I cannot believe how relevant those things are today. Like, I can't even believe it. He told me, it's just like that stuff that you went over 4 years ago. Mark my words, as time rolls on, this stuff is... Some of you, if you've never heard this before, it seems really out there and like, no way, that's not going to happen. No, it's happening. It is. And you're going to see it, and then it'll be like, man, that ain't so crazy. And then 10 years ago when I talked about that stuff, that transhuman, we weren't even talking about this level, right? Mind uploading... Substantially mainstream research in related areas is being conducted in animal brain mapping and simulation, development of faster supercomputers, virtual reality, brain-computer interfaces, and connection. Connectomics, whatever that is. And information extraction from dynamical functioning brains. All right? Mind uploading may be potentially accomplished by either of two methods. Copy and upload or copy and delete. So they're going to, in essence, when you copy anything on your computer, you're making a digital copy of something, right? That's there. It's permanently there. Like, you know how people think that they can erase, like, pornography on their computer, or they can erase? No, you never can erase it. Once it's there, it's there. Yeah. You can burn it. That's all you can do if you can get rid of it. But you can't get rid of that. Like, that's there. That's permanently there. Right? There's an image burn. Remember that sermon I preached all those years ago, burning an image never to be erased? That was like 15 years ago when I originally preached that message. That's what that is. That's what it is. Right there. Among some futurists and within part of the transhumanist movement, mind uploading is treated as an important proposed life extension technology. Some believe mind uploading is humanity's current best option for preserving the identity of the species as opposed to cryonics. Cryonics is just to freeze somebody, right? That's what Disney did. Walt Disney freezed himself in hopes that he could come alive again. That they could make him alive again. So if you ever see Walt Disney run around in a few years, you'll know why. They froze him, they uploaded his brains up in there, and it's not really him. Right? Think about this technology as like deep fakes. Do you know what a deep fake is? It's a video, like somebody could do a video. By the way, this is why the whole world is going to wonder after the beast. This is why they're going to someday put Christians in prison and they're going to frame them and set them up. How are they going to do that? Well, they're going to have deep fake videos. So what would be the best way to turn your whole entire, let's say as a pastor, let's say I was preaching the gospel like I do and serving the Lord and everything else, and let's say the devil wanted to cause trouble. Now, I believe God will take care of me anyway, so he always has and he always will. God allows the truth to come out, right? I've learned that from experience. But here's the thing about it. What if he did and he showed you a video of some deep fake of me doing something really horrible? Or your husband. That's where it's headed. I think they're doing it now. What do you mean? Well, I think half the stuff that you see, I don't even think it's real. All right, you're getting spooky now. You're getting like Aaron back there, getting spooky, ain't I, Aaron? But guess what, Aaron? It's right, ain't it? Half the stuff we're seeing right now, how do you know it's real? How do you know I'm supposed to go? How do you know people are doing these things that you're told they're doing all over the world and we're supposed to gather up armies and go kill people? How do you know any of that's real? How do you know? I don't know. Right. I don't know. What's that? Right. Exactly. We don't know. You know what you're going to know? What's in this book and what God shows you and what he has told you to follow. That's all you're going to know is real. Right? You're not going to know. You're not going to be able to trust these things. Why? Because they can mimic and manufacture all of it. And they're doing it. They're doing it. It's what they do. That's what Satan does. Anyway, another aim of mind uploading is to provide a permanent backup to our mind file to enable interstellar space travel and means for human culture to survive a global endpoint. What? Well, what in the world would be a global endpoint? I'll tell you what it is. When Jesus comes back and puts all the rebellion down, they think they're going to beat God. That's what they're doing. All this talk about the apocalypse coming and all these preppers and all these other things. I'm not against people prepping or preparing or doing the things they should. But let me tell you something. What most of the world is trying to prepare for in the apocalypse, yeah, they don't get it. Jesus is coming back and you ain't going to prepare for him. Right. Unless you're saved by the grace of Almighty God and your sins are forgiven, then you're the Lord's friend. But if you're not and you're on the team of Antichrist, you can do whatever you want. You think some superhuman computer is going to save you? There ain't nothing going to save you but Jesus Christ. And you better fall on your knees and repent right now and trust the Lord Jesus Christ and give your heart and life over to him and serve him. Amen? Because this old lie of Satan ain't going to work. It's the same old lie in the garden. Let me ask you, how'd that work out? How'd that work out? Not very good, did it? But that's what they're preparing for. They're going to fight God. That's their preparation. Another approach is seed AI. Well, that's a weird name. Which wouldn't be based on existing brains. Uh-oh. Computer-based intelligence, such as an upload, could think much faster than a biological human, even if it were no more intelligent. A large-scale society of uploads might, according to futurists, give rise to a technological singularity, meaning a sudden time constant decrease in the exponential development of technology. Mind uploading is a central conceptual feature of numerous science fiction novels, films, and games. Ray Kurzweil, the director of engineering at Google, has long predicted that people will be able to upload their entire brains to computers and become digitally immortal. We talked about that. Mind uploading has been advocated by a number of researchers in neuroscience and artificial intelligence, Marvin Minsky and another bunch of weirdos. Anyway, I won't bore you with that. But anyway, they're all a bunch of satanic creeps, right? Right, here we go. The book Beyond Humanity, Cyber Evolution and Future Minds by Gregory S. Paul is about the eventual and, to the authors, almost inevitable evolution of computers into sentient beings, but also deals with human mind transfer. You mean like, that's kind of like demonic, isn't it? That's kind of like devilish. Like, you know, it's kind of like possession. Why would anybody want to do that? Like, you know, like leaving your body, like something taking over your mind, communicating with the dead. I mean, this all sounds like really bad stuff that God told us not to do, right? This sounds like really bad stuff that God said, don't do this, for these things I've destroyed nations. Right, it's witchcraft. It's digital. It's technological witchcraft. That's exactly what it is. Again, here's Ray Kurzweil, singularity. Optical quantum DNA computing. They're going to fix you, right? In comes the next guy. So how in the world can we get from that machine right here, from this machine or this machine right here? Sorry, Andrew, didn't mean to burn your eyes out there. From that machine right there, how do we get from there to here? How does that happen? Well, Elon Musk has the right idea in his mind. He's going to invent a chip, right? Neuralink was founded in 2016 by Elon Musk, right? The group consists of experts in such areas as neuroscience, biochemistry, and robotics. Neuralink was purchased from its previous owners in January 2017. It announced that it was aiming to make devices to treat serious brain diseases short-term with the eventual goal of human enhancement, sometimes called transhumanism. So he makes no bones about it. By the way, why people like this guy, Christians, I can't figure out. They think he's like a nice guy, like the Babylon Bee guys. They're comedians. I don't think they're Christians. But anyway, they're funny guys, but they're... I don't think they understand the gospel, do you? It doesn't sound like it. But anyway, what they're doing is they have this Antichrist figure who's literally telling you that he's going to, like, he believes in transhumanism, and he wants to stick something in your brain, a neural link, into your brain, and make you be able to communicate with cyborgs or with computers. So you can bridge. That's the bridge, right? He's going to do it, right? So instead of having this, you are this. Like, you won't have one of these. You'll be this.
But it's just to help diseases.
Right. Well, like, how many mental health disorders, right? Do we have depression, anxiety? People go through different personality disorders, different things like that, right? All kinds of different. There's all kinds of different ones, right? All it is a broken mind in a fallen world. That's what it is, right? You can sum it up to Christians. To try to always define everything that goes on in your mind and brain, that's insanity itself, to try to do that. So what do? You just chalk it up to a broken mind. Well, from the fall of man. You know, your body's broken. You can feel that, right? Well, so's your brain. It's broke too. Why? Because of the fall of man. Depravity. Sin. Sin kills. By the way, sin still kills. Still does. Nothing's changed. And sin will still kill them. Nothing will change. Right? In that sense. So anyway, so he makes no bones about it. Transhumanism is his goal. Well, why? Well, he has a little different philosophy. See, he's afraid the machines are going to take over. So his philosophy is, out of fear, let's take over the machines. So let's rule the machines. Let's just merge with them. Let's control them so AI doesn't destroy us. Well, that's a trick of the devil, right? He's a good Antichrist figure, Elon Musk is. He really is. In 2017, anyway, that was his plan. Musk said his interest in the idea partly stemmed from the science fiction concept of neural lace. In the fictional universe in the culture, a series 10 of novels by Ian M. Banks. So rich men have big imaginations. So he has this big imagination that he got from the devil in order to make this implant, to put this into your mind so you can merge with machines. Yeah. Musk defined the neural lace as digital layer above the cortex that would not necessarily imply extensive surgical insertion, but ideally an implant through a vein or artery. He said the long-term goal is to achieve symbiosis with artificial intelligence. Yep. Yeah, maybe. Which he perceives as an existential threat to humanity if it goes unchecked. He believes the device will be something analogous to a video game, like a saved game situation. So he basically, you're less like, saving your level. That's you, buddy. You might be able to warp. Probably. Like a saved game situation where you are able to resume and upload your last state and address brain injuries or spinal injuries and make up for whatever loss capacity somebody has with a chip. No. Anyway, so Musk founded another company called OpenAI and all kinds of weird stuff. Oh, by the way, he taught monkeys how to play video games too. Neuralink demonstrated a monkey playing the game Pong using the Neuralink implant. So you're the next monkey he wants to try it on, okay? But that's who these people are. They're antichrist, and that's what they want to do. That's kind of an understanding here. You just right above and stick it in there, and we'll make it work. Yeah. Japanese billionaire here is creating a $100 billion investment fund to be a leading developer of AI for Kurzweil's technological singularity. That's a lot of money. They're going to throw as much money as they can at it. You know, the Bible says, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. You know, I was studying this and the Lord gave me this, I believe. There's a Bible verse in Ecclesiastes that says this, and if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. That DNA is that threefold cord, right? They're trying to break it. They want to break the cords, right? They want to break in. So why are they having problems with it? They can't quite get it done yet. They're going to need help from Satan to do it. And they're going to get that help. Okay, this is Jeff Bezos. He's the creepy guy that owns Amazon. Okay? He's definitely a weirdo. But anyway, meet Altos Labs, Silicon Valley's latest wild bet on living forever. Like, they're serious. I want you to understand something. They're very serious about this. Like, You saw the last guy, 100 billion, right? That guy? I mean, Bezos just founded Altos Labs, right? Now, people are saying he really didn't do it, but he did do it. He owns it. So anyway, and here's the Grim Reaper, and here's him beating the Grim Reaper, right? So he believes that he's going to cheat death, and that's what he's going to do. Or he's fist bumping, that's what it looks like, but anyway. But he's mocking it. Right, they're mocking God. They're mocking death is what they're doing. They're saying that they're not going to die, that they're going to cheat death, that whatever God said, they're not going to follow. They're not going to be stuck like that. Right? Altos Labs is a new biotechnological company focused on cellular rejuvenation programming to restore self-health and resilience with the goal of reversing disease to transform medicine. They're going to rejuvenate your cells. They're going to regenerate you physically. And they're going to do it. Right? A community of leading scientists, clinicians, and leaders from both academia and industry will work together towards this common mission. They'll be initially based in the U.S. in San Francisco Bay Area, of course, San Diego, of course, and in the U.K. The company will also have significant collaborations in Japan. That's where they can do all their experiments and not get in trouble over here. So let's just do them over there. But anyway, Altos is dedicated to unraveling the deep biology of cellular rejuvenation programming. Our mission is to restore cell health. They're gonna reverse the curse. That's what they're saying. They're gonna reverse the curse. Juan Carlos Izua, I guess his name is, whatever his name is. But within 2 decades, we will be able to prevent aging. So you're not gonna get older. You know that song, Never Grow Old? Well, they mean it in the flesh here. Never grow old. They're not going to. They want this to be the land where they never grow old. Right? So like Peter Pan, right? Never land. Never grow old. Peter Pan always stayed the same age, right? He never got older. He just stayed young, right? Well, that's what they're doing. The leading Spanish scientist talks to LPS about his new role at the secretive multinational Altos Labs, where he hopes to use cellular rejuvenation to reverse illness and cell deterioration. He said, for the first few days, the young cells of a tiny human embryo are able to turn into any kind of tissue, but they quickly start to specialize in order to create the different organs of the body. Japanese scientist Yamanaka discovered that this process could be reversed in 2006. He invented a technique to revert adult cells to their embryonic state. His work revealed that cells can be rejuvenated in the laboratory largely thanks to the activation of 4 genes that are responsible for the production of 4 reprogramming molecules. That's his work. That's what he's doing. And he's going to reprogram everything. What's the Bible say about the end times Babylon? What's the Bible say about what they're doing? For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. That's it. They're all making money off of it. They're going to make money off of you. They're going to make money off of you, right? And your desire to live forever. Not you, but the earth, the world, right? This is why, that's right. This is why, as they make merchandise of everyone, right? Revelation 9:5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them. See, they're going to reach a time where they're going to do this for 5 months. Whoever's alive at that point. Look what the Bible says. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. So God's going to give them for 5 months. Those people that are there at that time, he's going to say, oh, you want to live forever? You don't want to die? Okay, I'll just let you live for 5 months. And you'll be like immortal on this earth. And it's going to be bad. But God's going to give them what they want for a short time. God gives people over to what they want if they truly want it. He'll give them over to it, right? There's more that could be said about this. There's more that could be done, but this is enough. It gives you an idea of where it's headed, the direction of where they're headed. They want to rejuvenate your cells. Let me tell you something, friend, in all truth from the Word of God. And here's the thing. You're not going to rejuvenate in this life. You need to be regenerated. Amen. Men need to be saved by the grace of God. God promised one thing, death. He promised death. That death would come because of sin. That men would die because of sin. Right? God promised it. that because of that, because of sin, man's going to die. And the only way man can have the victory over death is through Christ. Amen. It's through being born again by the Spirit of God. It's being having your sins forgiven. You and I, we have to accept the fact of God's word that we're all going to die. Unless Jesus comes back before that, amen, we're all going to die. We're going to die. Our bodies are going to go into the ground. We're going to breathe our last breath on this side. And then we're going to, if you, to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord for the saved. If you're saved, you've already defeated death. Christ defeated it for you. O death, where is thy sting? Paul said, O grave, where is thy victory? Right? Death is swallowed up by victory, right? Our victory is swallowed up death, right? We're not, death doesn't have any hold on us. Death is that translation, right? It is the, death is translation. What they want to be translated in the flesh here, though. They want to be a God here. They want to say, God, you're not going to kill me. I'm going to live forever. And I'm here to tell you, you're not going to. God said you're going to die, right? God said you're going to die. But you know what? If you've trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, then death is just the translation to the next life. Amen. To eternal life. It's what you and I will pass through. If you're not saved, then you might trust the gospel of the beast here. Because that's what it is. That's the gospel of the beast, that you can live forever in your own flesh. But if you trusted Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you've repented and put your faith and trust in Him, then you know what? Whatever happens to this flesh, it'll happen. That's why martyrs, because of that, that's why martyrs could stand up and as they were chopping their arms off or burning them in the fire, they looked up to heaven and said, Lord, I'm coming home. Right? That's why they did that. They said, all you can do is destroy the body. And Jesus said, fear not those that can destroy the body, right? But fear Him that can destroy both body and soul in hell, right? Fear God and give Him glory, right? This is the whole duty of man, is to fear God and to give Him glory, right? There's a place called hell, and sinners are going there, and that's what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid the judgment of God, but there's a fiery hell and a fiery indignation coming from God. God is angry with the wicked every day, and God hath commanded all men everywhere to repent and believe the gospel. This is a false gospel. It's the gospel of the beast. Right? That's what it is. That you can live in your flesh as a God, right? That's the gospel of the beast. That's what man is promoting today. That's the goal of man. That's the goal of Satan, by the way, right? Is the gospel of the beast. They really want to live forever. This guy thinks his billions are going to make him live forever. He thinks that he can cheat death by paying it off. No. The only way you get victory over death today is by what Jesus did on Calvary. Amen. Jesus succored us over death, right? Jesus died for us, and He was buried, and He rose again from the dead, and that's the gospel we preach. And that's the gospel that is able to save your soul. That's the only gospel. That's the only way to be saved. That's the only way to be free from the clutches of death and hell and damnation, is to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, men are going to follow this and they're going to be deceived, and religious people are going to follow it. People that are vain, believe in vain religion, that have never been saved by the grace of God. They've never come to Christ as a sinner and said, Lord, I'm a sinner and I need the Savior. I need to be born again. I need my sins forgiven. And only Jesus Christ can do that. Amen? I like what the Bible says. Jesus Christ is the great physician, right? And the Bible says, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole, right? And you've got to go to Christ for forgiveness of sins, because you have the same problem that these men have, a sin problem. And they're trying to thwart that. They're trying to get around the judgment of God, and you never will. There's no end road around Christ. You either trust Christ as Lord and Savior, you die and go to hell. And you deserve it because you're a sinner and you're guilty before God. And you're dead in trespasses and sins if you've never been saved. But Jesus Christ gives life, and He gives it more abundantly. The Bible says He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on His name. The gospel is that Jesus died on the cross for sinners, that He was buried, and He rose again from the dead. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's That's the way you defeat the Antichrist in his kingdom. That's the way you stare death in the face by the grace of God. Amen. That's the way. This way leads to hell. The way of the cross leads home. Amen. Father in heaven, thank you. Thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for the truth. Lord, thank you that we're not deceived by the world. Lord, they're preaching another gospel as they always have. They're offering another Jesus as they always have. Thank you for the Jesus of the Scriptures. Thank you for you being Lord and Savior. Thank you for dying for my sins. And Lord, 20 years ago yesterday, you saved my soul, changed me, and made me a new creature. And praise be to your name always. Help us, Lord, to live in that, with that faith, knowing that one day our bodies will be ravished and our bodies will die and go into the ground, but our souls will forever be with Jesus and we'll get a new body someday. Oh God, help us not to fall for Satan's cheap imitation, some computerized fake AI, satanic beast, transhumanism, Lord. But help those that hear this online and everywhere to trust Christ as Lord and Savior and to know that true life and Jesus Christ is the only life, the only way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by him. Bless the time we have together. Bless the food to our bodies. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.